Hello and welcome to the Dress in Splendor podcast. Luke 12:27 states, "Look at how the wildflowers grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these." Our mission here is to share stories from men and women that can help you learn how to stop laboring or striving after what you want to accomplish, but rather to trust in your heavenly Creator to guide you in your everyday life. If He has a plan for you, He will make a way. All He wants is our daily yes to Him and for us to stop worrying about what tomorrow will bring. If we can do that, then we, as children made in His image, can be dressed in even grander splendor than the beautiful wildflowers of the field. I'm your host, Lydia Summer, and I'm so glad you're here today. Before we begin, I want to briefly apologize for the change in audio you'll hear towards the very end of the episode. You'll still be able to hear everything pretty well, but I wanted to warn y'all nonetheless. There were some technical difficulties on my end, and unfortunately, the quality changed a little bit, and hopefully this will not happen again. I also want to take this moment to ask that you please subscribe to the podcast so you never miss an episode, and if you wouldn't mind, please rate and review Dress in Splendor wherever you listen to podcasts. I'd love to be able to share more episodes like these where we highlight some incredible people so others can find encouragement through their testimonies. We've had some pretty incredible guests, and today's guest is no exception. Cicely V. Ford is on the show, and she shares the almost radical way in how she turned her organically grown 50,000 plus Instagram book lovers account to a platform that glorifies Christ and shares more of her faith. After losing tens of thousands of followers due to the change of Instagram's discovery page and her desire to share more about Jesus, Cicely decided that she would never compromise her faith to gain followers of this world. We really dive deep into the world of social media, the negatives and the positives that come with it, and we hope that this conversation will be an encouragement to someone listening today. Welcome to the Dress in Splendor podcast. Let's get started. Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas.
Yes. That is my friend, Cece Ford, Cicely, which before we had a little bit of a snafu. So this is take two of our recording and I could not pronounce her name. So I am so glad I have another chance to say it correctly. But yeah, so I have my friend Cece on with us today and she is such an amazing, beautiful soul. It feels like we've known each other for a lot longer than we have. Yes. We met 2 months ago.
Yes.
And through an amazing opportunity, which I'm sure Cece and I will both talk about soon. But she's one of those people where the moment you talk to her, it's like you're talking to a soul sister. And aww. I am so excited for us to jump into the conversation that we have for you today, especially answering some Christmas, trivia or whatever. But before we get into that, Cece, welcome to the show.
And thank you for having me. It's about time.
I know it. I know. This has been, I don't know how many times we postponed it. That's right. And even in our last recording, I'm trying to continue to make sure that my light doesn't go off so my recording doesn't freak out on me. But and no one will understand what that means except for the two of us.
Exactly. So
anyway, Cece, before we dig in, why don't you just share a little bit about yourself before for our audience who don't know you?
Okay, so I was born and raised in Chicago, did my undergrad and graduate here. Mm-hmm. I kind of transitioned out of like a media, kind of being like a content creator because I book blogged successfully actually for a couple of years, and then I kind of transitioned out of that into now that I'm teaching. I say success, like I gauge that as I was able to build an organic audience through book blogging. Mm-hmm. I was able to have partnerships with publishing houses. Even now I still get free books because I'm in their database, book blogger influencer database, which is still a blessing because I love to read. I felt like at some point it kind of became like I was overwhelmed and it became like a chase rather than actually enjoying the piece of reading. And it became like it felt like a job that I didn't want. But even outside of that, I felt like God was pulling me away from that because it was taking me away from, you know, making sure that I post 3 times a day, making sure that I had this book done, making sure that I had this book posted for this publishing house. And it kind of took me away from like my Bible study and time that I was spending with Jesus. And so I kind of like walked away from it. Like even in the, when I was sharing my book reviews and my thoughts about books, I was always sharing my Bible study and asking people if they needed prayer. And I was sharing, you know, my experiences at church and things that I was listening to that was enriching my relationship with Jesus. So there was always an in-between, but he wasn't the head of that. And so at the point that I felt like the Holy Spirit was kind of pulling me away from it, that's when I went on hiatus. But I do have this like awareness of the creativity that's been instilled in me, but I know now that it is for his glory. I'm just one of those people. And so I'm excited about all the things that I will get to create and do and build for his kingdom. And so last year, how we met, last year is interesting because I caught wind of Splendor Magazine last year. And I was like, this is just the bomb. Like the aesthetics, the content, it was Christ-centered. It was focused on women and their relationships with Christ. And I was like, this would be an amazing magazine to write for. But I was too apprehensive, which God doesn't call us to apprehension, to ask about writing opportunities. And then when I saw a couple of months ago that you guys were looking for an ambassador, I said, you know what? I'm just going to do it. I'm going to reach out. And that was probably the best thing that I could have done. Because I'm so excited to be a Splendor ambassador. I'm excited to represent the magazine. I'm excited to be a part of your body of work for Christ, where you're bringing women closer to him. And I got a friend out of it. I got a friend. So,
well, not just so a friend, a sister. So
a sister, yes. So that's where I am. And here we are.
Yes. Yeah. She is, as you can tell, just such a sweetheart. And I mean, so incredibly kind, everything you said about Splendor. And it's a testament to how God is at work within this. Like, I always wonder if we're reaching the right people, if we're actually making a difference. And the random people that come to follow us outside of my friends and family or my writer's team of friends and family, I'm like, oh, we found one. Like, there's someone I don't recognize. And so, so when you followed us, I was really excited because I was like, oh man, she has a huge following. And not that that matters, but I was thinking like, we're being shown to people who do have quite a following. So that meant a lot to me of knowing that God is using us in a way to share who we are with people. And I'm so glad you reached out to us as a brand ambassador. I mean, I think that your willingness to be able to share about a mission is just what we need, is we need women who believe in the mission to share about it. But even just outside of that, like for you to, I think we're finally continuing the conversation of having you write something for our online blog. So excited about that. But I do want to talk about your social media because in our first recording that kind of got cut off, you said that you started kind of book blogging between like 2017 and 2019. And first of all, y'all should follow her because whether or not she continues to post consistently, it doesn't matter because it's beautiful. Like it's so well done, gorgeous. But I'd love to just go deeper into that and, you know, talk about that, how, why you sort of touched on it a little bit. But why did you desire, did you think that you were actually going to have the big following that you were going to have?
I did not. Back in 2017, I feel like Instagram was a little bit different back then, where there was a really focus on community. Not that it can't be now, but it was just a little bit different with connection back then, as opposed to now it's all about, here's what you have to do to get noticed on Reels. Here's what you you have to post 4 times a day and you have to post at this time and you have to do this. And there's all these tips and tricks, but back then, it was just, I so happened. So I don't know if you remember this, but Instagram used to on the, it's not For You, that's TikTok, but like their,
the Discover,
what is it called? Their Discovery page, mm-hmm. they would highlight certain communities. Mm. And that's how I found the Bookstagram community. I was like, wait, there's a whole crop of people mm-hmm. sharing their books, sharing book reviews, but then they were styling these books in ways that were really beautiful while also giving these reviews, recommendations. And I was like, oh my God, I found my people.
Yeah.
So I just decided to join that community and start sharing the books that I was reading. And then I kind of got more into photography as I kept going. Mm. And that's how I discovered that community, and I just became a part of it. And I actually have friends that I made during that time that I'm still friends with now, that I still talk to and pray with now, just from Bookstagram. It's just different.
Yeah.
Now where there's more of a focus on numbers and following as opposed to connection, I do miss that.
Yeah.
But I know now that because of this climate that we're in, that people are looking for hope.
Yeah.
And I think that as a follower of Christ, it is my sort of responsibility in a way to impart what I'm given so that people can find hope in Jesus. And so that's kind of where I am now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that you kind of alluded when you and I had this conversation before, that when there was that shift, you actually noticed that you lost quite a few followers.
Oh yeah.
On that. You want to talk about that?
Oh yeah. So two things happened. I noticed that whenever I started to share my Bible study or talk about Jesus, there would be a follower loss there. Mm. But we know how many followers Jesus had, so
That's
it
right.
didn't matter to me. that did not matter to me. And then when I went on hiatus, of course, because now Instagram requires you to, if you want to maintain your following, you have to be on social media all the time, posting 4 or 5 times a day. And so when I kind of went on hiatus and I wasn't posting as consistently, my follower count dropped. Mm. Because I think at one point in 2018, I think I had gotten up to like 50. Like it was really high, and it's actually really lower now, but that is the kind of the shift with Instagram, I think now. And so one thing that I won't do is compromise Christ for a following. That I'm not going to do. I think that people are, they share all of their practices and they share all of their beliefs and nobody blinks an eye.
Yes.
And then if we start talking about Christ, then it's like, you know, this kind of thing. And so my thought is, if people who are in who are unbelievers or whatever the case may be, if they are free to share that, then I'm going to share Jesus freely.
Yeah.
And whoever follows and whoever stays, then it was meant for them. And I hope that they find hope in Christ from what I'm posting. I would rather have 5 likes on a photo or a post that I make where I'm imparting some type of wisdom that I'm given through my Bible study that is bringing somebody closer to Christ and out of a moment that they may be feeling despair, as opposed to not doing that and thinking, you know what, there's too many people that are uncomfortable with Jesus, so I'm not going to post about him. We're not going to do that. That's not going to happen. So yeah, that's just how I feel about like social media now, and just being in a you know, all of the creative things that I'm given, I say they're downloaded. Mm-hmm. They all point to glorifying Christ. And that's where I am. That's where we're going to stay.
Yeah, as it should be. I mean, I think it's so interesting, because I think that I had a similar experience to where my socials went from serving myself to serving God. And it was because mm-hmm. I had a more intimate relationship with Jesus. And I realized, like, what am I doing this for? Like, why am I trying to? And at one point, kind of like, I mean, you definitely got a lot further along, but I've got two accounts. My first account is my personal one now, but I was trying to be an influencer because I was like, maybe I can make money from this. And, you know, photos are so much easier to share, and videos. Mm-hmm. I think I've gotten so overwhelmed with social media now, even with Splendor. Like, I'm so thankful for the support and help I have from my team. But I almost don't even want to do it, you know, because I'd rather maybe even just like continue sharing via word of mouth, because it seems kind of pointless to have that on there when I feel like I don't know what's the purpose of a video, because it could do well, but it also could not do well. But we know photos don't do well anymore unless you like
and try those, and tag those people. Feelings that you have. Yeah. And those feelings that you have are valid. And I think me and you talked when we had our phone call, like I'm going to be honest, my energy level for creating those reels, it's just not there.
Same.
Like,
oh my gosh.
Like, I can't, I don't want to be Steven Spielberg like four or five times a day. I can maybe punch out like, and I commend people because those reels are really serious.
They are. Yeah.
They're really serious. And I'm like, the amount of editing that they're doing, it's a lot. And I'm like, I can pump that out maybe once or twice a month, every two months, but trying to keep that, I feel like that's how you get kind of like lost in the sauce, for lack of a better term, because then your focus becomes, I gotta create this at this time, I gotta edit, and I gotta post it.
Yeah.
And then that takes you away from it, the piece of, and that's what I don't want, like even me creating for His glory, I don't want the creativity for His glory to overshadow His glory.
Right.
If that makes sense.
Oh, totally.
So, yeah.
I think I think you and I are not alone in this. I think we found our community in social media that is frustrated with how reels and videos have kind of taken over social media. Yeah. And the thing is, like, I think a lot of us would have said the same thing about, you know, Instagram when it first came out, of actually when it transitioned to just posting random posts to making sure it was aesthetically pleasing. Because if it wasn't aesthetically pleasing, then you weren't, you know, unless you were, some people have just an Instagram just as like to post random updates, but they, like, I used to be so, I would count the likes because I would account the likes to popularity. And I would have, it doesn't matter like how many followers I had growing, you know, as I grew older, when I first started Instagram in 2012, you know, all throughout college, I would try and see how many of my friends would like it. But then I look at other people and they have like so many more followers and so many more likes. And I was thinking, like, what is wrong with me? So, and that's the kind of horrible thing about social media. And then going into Reels now and all that stuff. And you're like, I can't continue to try and learn something new just so people can see me. You know?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I 100% agree with that. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's, I think that maybe hopefully our generation, and I know that my friend has been talking about how she is not going to have her daughter have any kind of social media, any kind of electronics, that they have a family iPad, but they're not going to use that for games, no games on there. You know, she's like, I do not want my kid growing up in this. I don't want her getting addicted to this and trying to go back to,
it's an addiction.
It is an addiction. I've heard so many like stats about
it is actually shaping the way, is it Gen Z?
Yeah.
It's actually shaping the way they think and comprehend and take in information. And they are using social media to try to find an identity, I think. And, you know, I don't want to use the word afraid, but it is, you know, they talk in social media. Any narratives or ideologies or you know, terms of diagnosis, you know, they shape themselves around all of these things happening on social media now because they're buried. You know, there's not the idea of just going outside and jumping rope and getting fresh air. And that's very old school.
Oh, yeah.
And so they're becoming what they're seeing. And it's unfortunate because it is a burst of information. It's a burst of a situation. It's a burst of, and their thinking is being, they're aligning their thinking with that.
Yeah. I mean, and you have a really good point too, with like aligning with the thinking. It's like, that's where a lot of them get their information about the world and news and being persuaded to think one way or the other. And, you know, I mean, I want to stress to our listeners that we're not saying it's all bad, because I think that
it's not all bad.
It's the same thing for any kind of creative outlet or tool that you use. Like, it's not all bad, because I think that God has created mankind to be creative, and that we can use it for his glory. And but also knowing that, you know, if anything, this is what my pastor at my church said one time, is like, if it is dulling your love for God, kill it. I'm kind of I'm paraphrasing, but he's, oh my gosh,
I like that.
So I'm definitely paraphrasing, but he is, I mean, he has a point, because I think a lot of people, and what he was saying is like, there are a lot of people who are like, well, this isn't a sin because the Bible doesn't say it. But he brings back to the point of like, if it's separating you from God, kill it. Like, that's the point with social media, is that if you're not being careful with how much content you're consuming. And he even made a point too, that, you know, our social, or that we're so addicted to our phones that like, I'm doing all that I can throughout the day not to pick up my phone just to see if someone texted me, you know, or if I got any notifications, or just to see, you know, something on TikTok. And so we've become very dependent on it. And if our dependency on something is more than God, it's become an idol.
It's an idol. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And I think too, like, you have to think about, like, my cousin actually said something to me in a conversation. I'll never forget it. And it's like, when you're scrolling through, you have to remember, you're scrolling through everybody's everything. All of their darknesses, all of their whatever they're posting, and you're scrolling for hours and hours and hours. You're taking that in.
Yeah.
For hours and hours, and you think that it's not affecting your constitution. You think that it's not affecting your spirit.
Yeah.
But it can. It absolutely can.
Yeah. For those of our listeners who found us because they were first introduced to our Business Splendor magazine, you might have noticed that our website has been down lately. Well, there's definitely a good reason for it. Our website has been undergoing an uplift of sorts to better reflect our mission, and we are so pleased with the results, and we know you'll love the end result also. We give our thanks and much appreciation to Design Studio Morgan. Design Studio Morgan is a full-service web design, SEO specialist, and web application studio for all your small to medium-sized business needs. Run by mathematician and writer Drew Schaffner, Design Studio Morgan offers websites, web apps, cloud installations, domain administration, and more. With his help, we have put together a new website which costs less, has advanced features such as print on-demand store, user account management, and practically limitless growth ability. You can follow him on Twitter at dsmorgan_, or check out his website at dsmorgan.com. That's dsmorgan, morgan.com. So I kind of want to ask you, as someone who's gone through this whole process, and I know a lot of things have also been going on behind the scenes of social media. So you only share about like the Bookstagram and all that stuff. But, you know, there's so much more that happens in a person's life. And so from someone like yourself, who's gone through so much pain and hardship and grief and everything behind the scenes, like, how is it that you were able to kind of go back and have clarity of mind of how to use your social media for God's glory? And if you even want to share about, like, maybe how you realized exactly the moment that it was like dulling your faith or dulling your love for Jesus. Feel free to share.
I think one thing that I recognize about myself is that when I'm outside of the Lord, meaning that I have not spent time with him, I have not sat down and read my word, I have not taken the time to pray, which happens. It happens. I can feel the when the fruit starts hanging low, like that is when I'm at my lowest. And I always feel refreshed when I am spending time with him. And my mom was the one that said, she said, "You don't seem happy anymore book blogging." And I said, you're right. And I said, and I think it's because it has pulled me away from what I'm supposed to do. We always know. The Holy Spirit always nudges us. We always know.
Yeah.
I will stand on that hilltop forever. You always know when God is tugging at you about something. We have a choice in that moment. Either you are going to adhere to what the Holy, where the Holy Spirit is pulling you, or you're going to ignore it. And it's not easy. Don't get me wrong, especially when you're going through something. I went through something, and all of my family, and you know, obviously, that was extremely painful. And I was trying to pull myself up, but I wasn't pulling myself up in a way that I know that I needed to, which was to surrender the pain that I was going through and give it all the way over, cast our cares. You know, we hear that all the time, but that is a very, very real thing. And so what you have to do is you have to, the pain can't be the purpose. The praise has to be the purpose.
Amen.
And I think we forget that, you know, there's a lot of celebration. We see a lot of celebration, like even online when someone gets a new job or there's a new house or there's a new relationship. There's a lot of praise and the praises go up. But I think that the point of it all is that nowhere in God's word does he say that you are promised happiness.
That's right.
It doesn't say that. It what he promises is that he will never forsake or leave us, right? And so in the pain that we're going through and the suffering that we're going through, which I did, I had to find a way to find joy, right?
Yeah.
Joy is eternal. That's why the word happiness is not in the Bible, because happiness is temporal. It's temporary. You know, the happiness is dependent on a moment. You know, this is, this moment made me happy. I got the job I wanted. This made me happy. I was able to quit my full-time job and become a content creator. This made me happy. But what happens when all of that gets taken away? What happens when you're at your lowest? What happens when you have clothes all over your house because you've been too depressed to clean? What happens when, you know, are you still praising him and celebrating? So I've had to learn to have eternal joy, right?
Right.
It's over... arcing thing. And once that hit me and I said, you know what? I'm not going to make any excuses anymore. I'm not going to straddle the fence, because we all do that. Straddle the fence. I am going to use my creativity and use my own testimony to glorify him in everything that I do.
Amen.
That doesn't mean that I'm not gonna laugh, and I can't laugh and joke and have fun and watch movies. Of course, you know, you protect your eye gate and your ear gate, and you discern the things that you're supposed to be doing as a follower of Christ. But I feel like I know exactly what he wants from me, and it's just a matter of executing it. What the enemy does is he works on your weaknesses.
That's right.
He operates, he tries to operate through your weaknesses. And so when you're experiencing the greatest hardships of your life, when you're experiencing the greatest pain of your life and the greatest grief in your life, he wants you to live on that. And that's how you end up laying around, and you're not, you're missing the thing that God has for you to do. And you have to be ready. for the thing that God wants you to do. Because sometimes the thing that God wants you to do is not what you want to do.
That's right.
But you have to. But the greatest peace that you will ever have, the greatest answers to the question that the questions that you have for God is on the side of obedience surrender and just letting God, you know what I mean? Like just letting God be God. And so in the midst of me having this focus, which was being this book blogger, and it took me away from something. And so I decided I'm not going to let that take me away. I'm going to still do it, but I'm going to do it on the side of obedience now. Yeah. I'm going to do it on the side of what his purpose is instead of wallowing in what I went through.
Yeah.
And so that's where I am now, just being obedient. Mm. And even I still have low moments, and I still, you know, I'm human, and I still feel hurt sometimes, but the joy is like this.
Yes.
It's like his promise, the rainbow. It's like it's over everything.
Yeah.
And so even when I'm sad, I know that I can come out of it, and I'm excited to glorify him. I'm excited to praise him. I'm excited to share my Bible study. Mm. I'm excited to pray for other people that want that. I'm excited for people to pray for me.
Yeah.
And so that's just where I am now.
Yeah, you make such a great point that the enemy really knows how to target the weaknesses of each person. Mm-hmm. And I think that a lot of us in America, at least, or those who are in first world countries where social media is such a huge presence and force, honestly, that there are many, from what I've seen, content creators that put their whole livelihoods in TikTok and making videos and music and all that stuff, which is fine and good. But I remember seeing this content creator that I follow on TikTok, and there was, you know, the possibility of TikTok being taken down, and she was bawling, and she's like, I just want you to know, you guys have, you know, this was you, I do this for you. And it was such a heartfelt and beautiful message, but at the same time, and I understand because that's her livelihood. So it's like a job being taken away.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I was just thinking of like putting so much of who we are into what we do should not cause, it should cause some grief and lamenting, and there should be that, but our identity shouldn't be from that, you know, our happiness shouldn't be derived from that. And also knowing from the same content creators that she's not always happy, that she actually does deal with a lot of mental health issues. And part of it is because, you know, when comes fame, comes the haters, and she gets a lot of negative like talk and comments directed her way. And and so it's a really good point of like how if things do get stripped away, what can we say that we're left with? Do we have that joy?
Right.
Or do we feel like we have
that? That's why your identity is, and that's why I want to put my identity in Christ and not in the world. Because when you put your identity in the world, you will end up disappointed. Because the world is, you know, Jesus is constant. He's constant, and he's stable, and he is security, and the world is fickle and not secure. And, you know, you have to be careful to not put your identity, but it's very easy to slip into that, you know, because in America, especially like you were saying, there's a gauge of success for social media, right?
Yeah.
You have 100,000 followers and you're getting 10,000 likes plus on a photo, and we gauge that as success. But I think like as followers of Christ, if you've brought four people to Jesus, I wouldn't even say one.
Yeah.
That's success on the side of Christ. And also what you said made me think about kind of like this era of, I don't know if you've noticed it too. I can't remember if we talked about this when we were on the phone. But like this kind of like fast faith,
or
this like commercial Christianity. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like, it always makes me go back to, and I think like because I do want to start my YouTube channel to start sharing some of my Bible study. Mm. And I said, the first thing I want to talk about in my YouTube channel is that the Bible is for you. It's not about you.
Yeah, that's right.
And I think people forget that. And yes, that there's a lot of conversation around like what God is going to do for you. But what are you, how are you going to surrender your life? You know, the word calls us to die unto ourselves. We're supposed to die unto flesh. And once you die unto flesh, that means you're in Christ. So what is it that you're going to do to please him? What is it that you're going to do? What kind of work are you going to do for the kingdom?
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of think with the fast faith thing, there is, you know, pray exceedingly and abundantly and it will come to you. And I'm just thinking in my head, like, God is God and it is his will be done.
Yes.
That is across the word. And if it is not in his will, it is not going to happen. And
yeah.
So I think someone would ask, okay, well, what's the point of prayer? Well, prayer is our channel, right?
Yeah.
It is our channel to God. It is not us rubbing a genie, you know, rubbing the
genie in the bottle, like the lamp.
The genie in the bottle thing. Yeah. That's not what prayer is.
Genie in
the
bottle is a song,
prayer
sorry.
Is, you know, it is. I remember that. Christina Aguilera.
Yes.
But your prayer is supposed to be ask God in prayer, God, what is it that you want from me today?
Mm-hmm.
What is it that you want me to know today for you?
Yes.
How do you want me to glorify you? How do you want me to serve you? It is, there's nothing wrong. You know, I don't want to sound like I'm saying that there's anything wrong with that. If you're believing God for a job, that you should not pray for that job.
Right.
Or
yeah.
if you're believing God for your business, that you should not pray for your business. You should always pray for everything, but you have to get ready to accept what God gives you. And a lot of us are not ready to accept what God gives us because we don't take the time to break down his word to understand who he is. You have to understand God's character to understand who he is. Once you understand God's character, then you understand how the channel of prayer works.
Yes.
And how he works.
Yes.
And how he wants us to adhere to his will. But a lot of us don't do that. We cherry pick the nice parts of the Bible.
Yep.
That are, you know, we Jeremiah 29:11 everything.
Put it on our Instagram bio.
It's in the bio. Yeah. It's in the bio. And you know, that is, you know, those parts are important, but you have to learn that you may never understand what God exactly wants because he is God.
Yeah.
But you can study your word and spend time with him and ask him, what is it that you want me to know in your word so that I can understand what I need to do for you? What can I do for you? So I would love to see like more of that. I think that, and I think we talked about this in our phone call too, like the theology, I think is as important as the devotion.
Mm-hmm.
Those two things have to go hand in hand. You know, you celebrate the resurrection, you lament the sacrifice. And so those two things have to meld.
Yeah.
Together. And I think because a lot of people don't understand, it's easier to just say, you know, God knows my heart and he's going to bless me and answer all of my prayers. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's yes and amen. And it may be no and amen, you know?
Amen. Yes. I mean, come on, you're preaching a good word right here. So it's just so important to remember or to know actually and have that intimate relationship with Jesus. Because as you said, there are a lot of people who probably claim to be a Christian, but they really care more about, you know, I mean, so many people believe in the prosperity gospel, if I believe in Jesus, and I pray for his help, he'll help me and he'll give me all the riches and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just thinking like, where in the Bible at all does he say that that's promised? I mean, I think that
he
people use, I mean, it's so interesting. I think that people use Job as, uh, the, as an example of the prosperity gospel, that God blessed him twice as much, but he also took away all of that first.
He sure did.
And he didn't have to do that at all. But I think there's a lot of humility, and I don't know, there's so many aspects to that. But we're running out of time.
So before we finish our episode, Cece, we've got our one last question that I ask all of my guests, which I know you know. Our podcast is called Dress in Splendor, based off of Luke 12:27, which states, look at how the wildflowers grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor were dressed like one of these. And our purpose is and aim is to share testimonies from men and women of different backgrounds to help encourage them to know that they can live in life in full obedience and trusting that God has a plan for their life every single day. And so in light of this conversation, what is some advice that you would give to someone and how they can be dressed in grander splendor?
I would say a way for someone take baby steps in growing your relationship with Christ. Even if it's 5 minutes, 10 minutes a day, sit down in prayer, sit down with your Bible and ask God, what is it that he wants you to know? The best way that you can be dressed in splendor is to give yourself over, to die to your flesh, to give yourself over to Christ, and learn that he is present, that he will never forsake you, and that everything that you are going through, you can take to the feet of the cross. And I think it's hard when you're going through something, because everything that you're going through becomes who you are. But spending time with Jesus is going to make you remember that who you are is supposed to be in him, that your identity is in him. Once you cover yourself in the splendor of Christ, you will have peace in the struggle. You will have contentment when you're in pain. You will be able to have joy even in your grief. And so I would tell anyone who wants to build their relationship with Christ, but they are struggling because they are going through the hardest time in their life. If you do small steps towards him, the more you feed yourself Christ, the more you desire Christ. And the more you desire Christ, the more you want to live for Christ. The more you live for Christ, the more you're covered in Christ. And the more you're covered, the more overarching joy you will have in your life, even when you're experiencing difficult times.
Amen. That is so good. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I think that so many people are going to be encouraged by what you just said and what you have been talking about. And for those who are listening, we had no plan of what we were going to talk about. We sort of did, but
we did not.
We just kind of trusted that the Lord and the Holy Spirit would just kind of drive this conversation. So we're praying that he knew what he was doing in leading our conversation to talk a little bit more about social media and the just everything about that. But thank you for sharing that piece of information. And since it's a Christmas season, I want to just like have some fun with you. And I did this in my last Christmas episode, but I just want to ask you some questions about Christmas. Like, what are some holiday traditions you have? What's your favorite Christmas movie, Christmas song, all that jazz?
So I have a rant. I have a little rant.
Please, even if it's a rant about Christmas, that's totally fine too.
So I'm a Christmas person. Like, I am the tree goes up November 1st person.
Yeah.
So in the morning, I listen to 93.9, which they play all of the Christmas music all the way through New Year. And I was listening to the morning episode, and the host was saying how Apple TV bought Charlie Brown's Christmas. And so that you have to watch it. They pulled it off the networks and that you have to watch it on Apple TV.
And I said to myself, this climate that we're in, where millions of people from the time that I was little, my mom and I watched Charlie Brown's Christmas. I think it was like ABC or NBC or whatever it was, every single year. And I'm just thinking about the millions of people where that was a tradition for them to gather around the TV and watch Charlie Brown's Christmas, because you know Charlie Brown's Christmas talks about the birth of Christ. And I thought to myself, all of the older people, the elderly people that don't have Apple TV, that now can't watch Charlie Brown's Christmas on regular network TV. And I just was shaking my head and I was like, you have to try to keep these traditions sacred, right? It's such a small thing, but I was just like, I just remember how important that was. Every single Christmas, we didn't miss it. I don't have Apple TV. I don't think a lot of people have Apple TV. So what I did was, I don't know if you can see it back here. I put it in my tree. It's the it's Charlie Brown's Christmas. So I bought it on DVD because I was like, you know what? Apple, I'm not getting Apple TV.
That's right, yeah.
I will buy the DVD player and I will play it so that I can watch this every Christmas.
Yes.
This is sacred.
It is.
This is a gem. This is golden.
I had no idea that they did that. I mean, you would mostly find it like on any channel playing in the, and I don't know, that kind of, I would rant about it too, because I was even just thinking about like how there's basically, you can't really watch anything online unless it's through a streaming platform. And like I've mentioned to you before, we started recording, your girl is broke and I cannot afford all this, you know, to have some, because if you can't just have one subscription and then you could get as like whatever you want catalog, you have to subscribe to all these different platforms if you want to have a, you know, some diversity or something that's not Apple produced or Amazon Prime produced or whatever you want to watch, like classic movies and the movies that I grew up watching, you can't find it on there anymore. But anyway, yeah, so I'm assuming that's your favorite movie.
It is my favorite. It is my favorite Christmas movie. I love it. And I was like, I'm just going to buy the DVD so I have it forever.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good one.
So I'm curious about yours, though. What's yours?
I would say White Christmas. I am a classic movie girl at heart. And because my parents grew up with them. And so they kind of just passed that love down and shared a lot of classic movies with us. Cary Grant, you know, Jimmy Stewart, all that. So It's a Wonderful Life is an amazing movie too. But White Christmas was something that we always watched on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, whichever, I can't remember which day. So that tradition.
White Christmas.
Oh my gosh. It's such a great movie. It's so wholesome. And
sisters.
I can't even remember the words, whatever. I can know the words, but I can't remember.
I love it.
But yeah, so that's my favorite movie. I would say my favorite Christmas song, which I'll take it back to you, is Merry Christmas Darling, just because I feel like my voice is very much like Karen Carpenter's and I really like how she sounds in it. So
I think my favorite Christmas song, I have three. Sweet Silver Bells.
Oh yeah.
Little Drummer Boy and Hark the Herald. Is that what it's called?
Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you know they sang that in this.
Oh yeah.
The kids.
So even more reason to love that movie.
Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, are there any other traditions that you guys do like on Christmas Day, Christmas Eve with your family or is that
we just cook. It's just my mom and I. I lost my dad in 2016 to cancer. And I don't have any siblings. So we just keep up with the traditions that we had. We watch a lot of Christmas movies.
Yeah.
Cook. Enjoy each other's company. Have hot chocolate and marshmallows. We make a Hawaiian bowl spinach dip every Christmas.
All right.
And so those little things, I'm just a total like Christmas person. I love it. I love the spirit of Christmas. I know that there's some talk about Christians are not supposed to celebrate Christmas and all of that, but I think that we're smart enough to know, you know, what the word says, and that we can just take this time to celebrate the birth of Christ and celebrate family and celebrate friendship and giving to others and joy. And it's just the whole spirit of it. I love it so much.
Oh, yeah.
From November 1st to the new year, I have my Christmas hat on.
Yes, that's awesome. I'm kind of the same way. I want to celebrate it earlier, but my parents are like, no, after Thanksgiving is when we put
the Christmas tree up.
And we actually just finished like decorating the other day. I mean, my mom was sick for like 2 weeks and I honestly, and she knows this, but I really hate decorating. And because if I decorate it, she tells me, like, she basically changes how I do it. She's like, no, I like it this way. I'm like, all right, this is why I don't like decorating. And she knows that. But anyway, I've taken up way too much of your time. I know you've got some fun.
You have plans. Not. This was wonderful. I'm so happy that we finally got to have our chat and that you invited me on your podcast. You're truly anointed in this.
Thank you.
I pray that you keep going. I pray that you are led to people who are going to help you grow your business and your ministry. That you are able to chat with people who are going to push you closer to Christ than you already are. I love your heart for Christ. I'm so glad that we connected and that we're friends and sisters in Christ. And this was great. And I just thank you so much for having me.
Yes, I'm so ditto. I mean, I'm very excited about what God is going to do through you, through your YouTube platform now. And I know that you said that you have such a heart for teaching, and I cannot wait to see how you use your talents to further advance God's kingdom, you know, as our mission states. And for those who are interested in learning more about you and what you do, first of all, you can find her work on our website, hopefully soon. We are not even in like, we're in the very beginning stages, but just keep an eye out for that. But if people want to follow you and find your work, where can they find you?
Probably like mostly Instagram. I am on TikTok, but I haven't posted that much. I think I have like 2 videos on TikTok. I will be on YouTube consistently because I just want to share my Bible study and try to bring as many people to the kingdom as possible through my creativity. So it's not like I'm just like that person that's like all over the place, but definitely follow me on Instagram. It's just my name, Cicely V. Ford. Message me. We could talk about Jesus. We could talk about prayer. You know, you could send me funny stuff within reason. But yeah, like mostly just like Instagram, and all of my everything is linked in my bio. So yeah, hopefully 2024 will be a year of pouring what I am getting through my own relationship with Christ, the great parts and the not so great parts. Hopefully 2024 will be a lot of sharing and growing and just letting God be God with things.
Amen to that. I thank you again. And for everyone who, you know, everything will be in our show notes, so you can find that information there. But Cece, oh my gosh, I am so thankful for you, for our friendship. And hopefully we can see each other soon.
Yes, I can't wait. I cannot wait. And I'll be sending you, I'll probably send you like some random text about something.
Yeah, no, please do. I live for the random texts. So anyway, thank you again for joining on the show. And thank you everyone for tuning in. We'll catch you next time.
Cicely certainly brought a lot of joy to this episode, and I so loved our conversation surrounding how we can use social media without compromising our faith and to glorify God through it. Cece has a wonderful heart to share her Bible studies with her followers, and I highly encourage y'all to follow her to make sure you be the first to hear her announcement on when she begins her YouTube channel. I hope you were encouraged by our conversation. And if you think that it might be a blessing for someone in your life, please share. Our hope, as always, with this podcast is to help others feel encouraged and learn how to be dressed in grander splendor than the wildflowers of the field. Make sure to rate and review wherever you listen to podcasts and follow us on Instagram at Dressed in Splendor to know when our next episode drops. And if you want to give me a follow where you can find encouraging and the occasional silly content, you can find me on Instagram at The Lydia Summer. The music of the Dressed in Splendor podcast was produced by Chael Arekasi. Find him on Instagram at Sound of Pastel Kid for more of his work. That's Sound of Pastel, P-A-S-T-E-L Kid. Lastly, thank you, dear listeners, for tuning in. May you be blessed as you continue on in your day, and may God be glorified through your work. And of course, Merry Christmas to everyone. We'll catch you in the new year.